Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Steel Toes to Stilettos. I am so excited because I have a phenomenal guest in the studio tonight. I am so excited to sit on the couch with her. I am so excited to have conversation, and I cannot wait because I know she is going to drop some jewels. I am not going to wait no longer. Further ado, Miss Julie, welcome to Steel Toes to Stilettos.
Thank you so much, Sharice. I'm happy to be here.
How are you feeling?
A little nervous.
You're a little nervous?
Yeah, a little nervous.
Y'all, guys, this is Miss Julie's first time. This is not something that she does. She is a behind-the-scenes type of lady. And I was very shocked by that. And we'll find out later on down the line why I was shocked by that. But she is from where?
From Germantown, currently, but born and raised in Philly, in West Philly, raised in West Philly.
Okay, so yeah. You traveled down here to Delaware to be here on Steel Toes to Stilettos.
Yep, absolutely.
Thank you so much. I really, really, really appreciate you for that. I really do.
You're welcome.
How was the drive?
The drive was good. No traffic. Yeah.
Well,
that was
good.
Pleasant.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. Like I said, this is your first time in front of the camera.
Mm-hmm. First time, really, I wouldn't say in front of the camera. It's been some years since I've been in front of the camera and some years since I've been interviewed. And I'm always nervous about that. I'm just that person because I'm used to being in the background. So
you have been interviewed before?
I've been interviewed before, mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, see, this is
short
where
bio.
There's where it gets
short
a little
bio.
Frightening. Short bio. So, I have been a longtime model in the tri-state area. I've also produced a number of fashion shows. Currently, I have been the backstage manager for Philly Fashion Week for the last 20 seasons. So, I was actually with them from the beginning.
Okay. So, that's very interesting because I was a model as well.
And
unfortunately, I didn't really get to reach the pinnacles that I dreamed about when I was in, you know, my modeling career. Mm-hmm. But I did enough. I did enough where God showed me that if you put your mind to it, you know, if you step out there on faith, mm-hmm. if you believe in yourself, like, you could really do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really an eye-opening experience because I have a favorite saying. And it goes, do not let your circumstances dictate your destiny. And that's exactly what it was for me because God really showed me that you can really, really do it. You know, I was going to New York. I participated in New York Fashion Week before. I did extra roles. I've been on soap operas.
Oh,
and
okay.
I couldn't believe it at the time. You know what I mean? So that really boosted my confidence and really gave me the tenacity to just do anything, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? It didn't matter if it was in my modeling career or whatever I had put my heart to. So that really built my confidence, especially coming from Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sorry, you're from Philadelphia. I'm looking at you because that was going to be my next question. What was it like being in Philadelphia, being in the fashion industry? But for me, living in Wilmington, you know what I mean? It's not the type of industry. So
okay.
I had to work extra hard and go the extra route. But for you, back then in the fashion industry, what was that like? Was it hard? Was it complicated? What was the process? Because, you know, now we have social media, so things are so digital and so much faster.
Exactly. Well, I can tell you Philadelphia has had fashion for years and years and years. There have been some fabulous designers over the years, some of whom have gone on to be in the Smithsonian Institute, some who have had their things in Bergdorf Goodman. So, I mean, fashion has been around forever in Philly. There was always a fashion show. I can say
It was.
8 months out of a year, there was fashion shows, and usually 2 to 3 weeks out of that year, you know, weekends, there was a fashion show. And when I say fashion show, these were audiences of 1,600 people. Those audiences
aren't there
anymore. Yes, that kind of fashion show. So there's been fabulous models, fabulous designers, you know, and it's just kind of come full circle sort of kind of with mm-hmm. Philly Fashion Week and what they're doing in terms of having exposing the public to not only Philadelphia designers, but also designers from, you know, other parts of the world.
Surrounding areas.
And the surrounding areas, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you take us back to the beginning? What sparked your passion for fashion and entrepreneurship?
I never really had a passion for fashion in the beginning when I was young. I never thought about modeling. It never occurred to me, but there was a woman who would come to my job almost every single week and say, "You need to come to my modeling school. I can teach you how to model. You would have fun. You'd be perfect, blah, blah, blah." And every week I would say, "No, I don't think that's something I want to do. You know, I'm not really interested. I don't know anything about it." But she was very, very persistent. And I finally went to the school. I made up my mind. I said, "You know what? Let me just see what it's all about, you know. And if I don't like it, okay, I don't like it. You know, I'll just move on." But of course, that didn't happen. You know, all these years later, I still am very interested in fashion. Obviously, she sparked something in me that I didn't know was even there.
Exactly. She seen something in you that you didn't even know you
exactly.
had.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
So that was your whole gateway into the fashion industry.
Absolutely, it was. Absolutely. Without her, I probably never would have thought about it. Wow. I never would have been here.
And she had a modeling school?
She had a modeling school, Stephanie Kane School of Modeling.
Oh, my goodness.
Steph, the
one
and only.
I went to her modeling school.
Who didn't? That's the thing. She has ushered in so many girls, introduced them to fashion.
I was going to ask you, do you know Stephanie King? And I was like, no, I'm going to wait till off the air to ask you because, you know, I just didn't know. But that is so interesting.
Yeah.
Yes. And let me see. I went to her modeling school. It was about 1996.
Okay.
That's when I entered her modeling school. And it was downtown Philly, like right off of like 9th and Walnut, Chestnut.
Yep.
Somewhere in between.
She was
there.
In, what is it, Jewelers Row.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. And you had to go in and check in downstairs and then go upstairs.
And go upstairs. Yep.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I remember doing several fashion shows with her. I did a fashion show with Charlie Mack, and it was a big fashion show at the Kimmel Center on Broad Street.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like one of the a moment for me, you know, a monumental moment in my career. You know what I mean? Stephanie Kane. That is so interesting. Mm-hmm. Wow. And what year did you meet her?
What year was that? When did I start with her? I was really, really young, so it had to be early, like had to be 80, 81 maybe.
So she's been around for years.
Stephanie's been around a very long time. Stephanie was a model. She also produced, as you know, produced fashion shows. Stephanie's been around a very, very long time.
Oh my goodness. Is she still around?
She's still around. Absolutely.
In the industry?
I don't know if she's really producing fashion shows like that anymore, but she's definitely, you know, around.
Wow, that is so interesting. So what are some of the challenges that you faced as a Black woman in the industry, you know, modeling and, you know, building a brand?
Mm-hmm.
I know for me it was difficult for me. I came in the industry like after 16, 17, 18 years old. So they was like, you're... time is almost done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the industry, like, if you're like past 20, your career is pretty much over. So I faced a lot of the, you know, that type of stigma, not being tall enough.
Yep. Yep. You went more of, or you sought more of the outside of the local fashion circuit. I never did. I was encouraged to. But I just never had the courage to go that step further. Mm. So for me, as a Black woman, I didn't really have any challenges. I was always tall enough, you know, and I just never really ran up against that because of where I was in the modeling circuit.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know height was always a major thing, though. Height was always the requirement. And I know for me back then, there were not a lot of urban designers. So you had to, that criteria, 5'8", without heels, mm-hmm. they were sticking to that.
Exactly.
And then, you know, when the urban designers came along, then you could kind of, you know, finesse it a little bit. And they'd, let you, they'd let you slide. I use modeling. Well, let me say this. For me, another challenge for me where I couldn't pursue my modeling career like I wanted to was because I had children. And that was like a life choice. And that stagnated me 100%. Mm-hmm. Because now I have kids, I gotta go to work.
Right.
So what I did, Miss Julie, was I started an empowerment program for girls, and modeling was a component of the program to build and boost esteem.
Okay.
So that was because I couldn't model and I had to work, and you know, that was the next best thing for me to do. That will fulfill that void, because right. I was mad I couldn't model. I was mad. I didn't like watching America's Next Top Model. Oh. I didn't like watching anything
no.
that was related. No.
Okay.
Because I couldn't do it no more. I was mm-hmm. mad because mm-hmm. I couldn't pursue my dreams no more, so I didn't want to see it. But the next best thing for me to do was to start this program for girls.
This
program for girls and build them up through TV, fashion, mm-hmm. photography, and modeling.
Mm-hmm. That's one thing that people don't understand. I think a lot of people feel like modeling is frivolous. You know what I mean? But it really isn't. Modeling really is a great thing to build up somebody's self-esteem and to bring them out of their shell and to expose them. Yeah,
it
absolutely
is. And that's exactly, you know, what I used the program for. You didn't have to want to be a model, but I just knew mm-hmm. that girls like fashion, girls yeah. like makeup, girls yeah. like they like being cute.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my magnet to get them into my program, and that's how I got them to stay. And outside of, you know, doing like modeling, photo shoots and mm-hmm, runway mm-hmm. practice and things like that, we did like workshops about, you know, hygiene and budgeting okay. and conflict resolution and all of those things like that. So that's like the challenges that I faced, you know, in the modeling industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still hopeful though. I'm still hopeful. Was there any moment that you wanted to give up?
Let me see. And stop modeling? I think, I would say recently, like I can say this, that modeling has for me been very transformative. I've modeled with Stephanie Kane from probably the early 80s till 2019, believe it or not. But about 2017, I was like, you know what? I think I'm just ready to just leave this alone and do something else now.
2017.
Yeah. It just wasn't, fulfilling in me what, you know what I mean? I guess I was past it or over it or whatever you want to say. Yeah. So would I do it? Yeah, I'll do it. But it's not something that I'm eagerly looking forward to do like I used to, you know?
Okay. Yeah. So fast forward to 2017. You transformed into behind the scenes?
No, I've always been behind the scenes. What happened with me and modeling is that probably 10 years into my modeling career, mm-hmm. I started producing shows. Never thought about producing shows, never had an interest in producing shows. But my husband, who is a custom menswear designer, wanted to produce a fashion show. He was a lone wolf.
A custom menswear designer.
Menswear designer.
What's his name?
Ron Wilch.
Ron Wilch.
Yeah. So he was a lone wolf. He wasn't on the fashion show circuit that I was on. He didn't know any models. So he had me. So I brought in the models. I brought in the other designers for the show. And our first show was at the, the Academy of Music Ballroom in Center City.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't believe how successful it was, how many people came out and supported. So that was the first time I'd ever even produced a fashion show. But then that went on and on and on. I did them on my own. I did them in partnership with my husband. And one of the most well-known shows that we've done is at the Del East. Used to be called the Del East. I think it's called something else now. But it's an outdoor amphitheater that has a lot of concerts. It's on the other side.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on the other side. Yeah, it seats about 5,600 people or so. And so we decided to produce that show and let the general public, you know, the hood, if you will, see the fabulous, for the most part, black designers that we have in our own community.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So that sounds like, it sounds like that was a gateway for the new black designers in the community, in the area.
Mm-hmm.
That was like a opportunity for them to be able to say, okay, we exist, we're here, we're alive, you can shop with us.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. We weren't the only ones, though. I mean, you had groups like NAFAD, National Association of Fashion and Accessory Designers.
Okay.
They're the ones who pulled in 1,600 people. Those are the kind of shows they had at the ballrooms, hotel ballrooms in Center City. You know, there's so many fashion producers, show producers in Philadelphia that are going through. Stephanie was one of them. Aaron Pender with Premier Productions. The late, great Charles Bergie. His shows were fabulous. Execution was just unbelievable.
It sounds like so much history in fashion out of Philadelphia.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think when people think about Philly, they think food, they think museums, what else? Music, of course, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's the top one, you know. But they never think fashion. I don't think that people consider.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
I naturally don't think fashion. That might be like three or four on the list, but the first is always, you know, music, even acting.
Exactly.
Even acting.
Yep.
So, Miss Julie, tell me, how do you balance being a creative visionary with the realities of running a business and taking care of your family? Because you do have one, two, three children?
Two children. Yeah, two children, a daughter and a son. Yeah. So my, you know, when we were doing this, my daughter, Eve, was already out of the house. She was out. Well, let me rewind that. Let me get myself together here. She saw me model for years.
Eve.
Yeah,
Eve. And this is the rapper Eve.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So she saw me for years model. Then later on, we had our son, Farad.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Do you think that Eve watching you out there in the industry, did that spark her interest in the entertainment, or did she already, you know, did she have, was that something separate?
She always had an interest in entertainment. She was always singing or, you know, dancing. She wrote poetry. So she was always really interested in that. She also was always interested in fashion, too. Like, she would go into my closet and steal my jewelry and, you know,
as
look
a daughter
at shoes.
Would.
Exactly.
As a daughter should.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
So you had... So Eve watched you throughout this whole process, and then you had your son.
Yep. And then I had my son. And, you know, he's my son is very fashion forward.
Okay.
Which was surprising to me because his dad really isn't. He's more of a classic guy. Mm-hmm. But Farad really enjoys fashion.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He puts those pieces together.
He does. He really does. He's really good. Yeah.
And is Farad, is he, besides this, you know, knowing how to put the pieces together, does he design as well?
He started something and then he had to leave it alone.
Okay.
Yeah, just because his life got busy. Yeah.
Well, it seems like it's this, for you to say, or for you to tell me that basically you had no interest in it and it was this random lady that used to come to your job and, you know, finally persuaded you to come to modeling school and then you liked it. But it seems like it just trickled down to your family, like naturally, organically.
Listen, I don't know how it happened. Like I said, maybe I always did have that, but I never was exposed to it. You know what I mean? Like, at home, fashion wasn't anything that was talked about.
Yes,
it wasn't, you know, fashion magazines didn't come to my house. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
How did you create the balance with being a mom and being in the industry and.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a tough balance. I, you know, to me, when I hear people say you can have it all, I'm just like, I'm not sure we really can have it all. You know what I mean? You try to do the best you can to balance things.
Yes.
That's what you're doing. Yep. You're trying to do the best that you can.
However that works out.
Exactly.
Day by day.
Exactly.
I feel like if you try to figure out beforehand how you're going to handle everything down to a T, you won't do it.
No.
You won't do it. It's like you just have to jump out there and you just have to just do it.
Exactly.
And then figure it out the best way you can as you go along and, you know, do it the best that you can.
Right. Right. Because, you know, I mean, that's all you really can do.
So what's next for you, Miss Julie?
I do have something that is in its infancy stages that I started working on that I really want to see come to fruition. It has to do with the fashion industry, definitely. I'm not ready to let the cat out of the bag yet. Perhaps the next interview, it'll be like somewhere where I can talk about it. But I'm really looking forward to getting that started.
So you're going to come back and tell us about it?
Sure, absolutely.
Can I be a part of it?
Can you be part of it?
Mm-hmm.
I guess if you want to be, if you have the time.
You said fashion. Listen, you say fashion, I'm like, okay, I'm there. If it's anything
whatever
that has
it
to do
is
with fashion,
okay,
I'm there.
Okay,
even
awesome.
Even if it's just the witness and watch. How do you remain, you know, like ducking the spotlight? You know what I mean? Your daughter is Eve, one of the most famous female rappers. You have, you know, done some extraordinary things. How do you stay, you know, out of the spotlight?
I would say probably because that's who I am anyway. That's my personality.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not one who wants to be spotlighted. I'm really just, that's not my personality.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I try to keep it very low key, and especially with my daughter Eve, because you know, you get all types of reactions with that. Some people are wanting to be your friend because
for
of
sure.
that. You
for
know
sure.
what I mean?
For sure.
Some people become jealous because of that. You know, some people want to be in your business or whatever. Or some people feel like you have more than what you have. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean? It
mm-hmm.
just brings in all kinds of things
mm-hmm.
that can come to fruition. And so I just kind of like to block that as much as I can. If you know, that's great, you know, but I generally don't even mention her.
Protecting your peace.
Exactly. Exactly.
When people look back at your legacy, what do you hope they will say about Julie Wilch?
That is a wonderful question.
I got another question, too, but I'm going to let you answer that one first.
Okay.
I was going to make it a two-part.
Oh, okay. Okay. If I have to think about it.
That's why I said, let me break it down. Let me give her a chance to answer
first. Exactly. Let me get my head together about that one.
We're so busy working and trying to do
exactly
the good stuff and, you know, be genuine and, you know,
right,
do our passion, work to
right
our purpose. But it's like, hold on. And these are some of them questions that you really have to stop and think about. And
absolutely.
Say, what do I want to leave behind? What
right
really is it?
Right. Absolutely.
What is it, Miss Julie?
I don't know. I mean, I think people would, whatever they have to say about me, I think most people will think I'm genuine. Most of my friends, and I think that people would say that basically because the Julie that you see every day
mm-hmm.
is that Julie. It's not Julie who's, oh, so grand because her daughter is Eve.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
You are so regular.
I'm a regular person.
Regular person. That's how you act. That's how you carry
yep,
it.
Yep, that's how I carry it.
Mm-hmm.
So I know, I would hope that's what people would say. I would hope that people would say I'm a good friend. That I am reliable. Lots of people contact me because they feel like I'm very reliable and I can get it done.
Get it done.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about the work that you have put in, the foundation that you have laid? What do you want people to say about that?
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
from?
Well, I hope that people recognize the foundation. That's the one thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
Do people recognize what
yes.
I've done, mm-hmm. you know, without being big-headed about it or whatever, just honoring.
Recognizing your work.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. And everybody wants to be recognized.
Yeah.
Humbly recognized.
Right.
So I get it. Okay. If your life had a theme song right now, what would it be?
It would be Unwritten by Natasha Bedingfield.
Unwritten.
Unwritten. There's a line in that song. Can I look at my notes?
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a line in that song. It says, today is where your book begins. The rest is still unwritten. And that is exactly where I am on this new thing that I want to do.
Today is where
your book begins. The rest is still unwritten.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like a never-ending story.
Mm-hmm.
There's always new chapters to your life.
Exactly.
There's always a chance to rebuild and start fresh.
Yep.
There's always room to forgive yourself and stop dwelling on the past.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always time to rewrite your life.
Absolutely.
Rewrite the book. Change the narrative. And describe your life, your lifestyle, in three words.
My lifestyle?
Your lifestyle. Describe your lifestyle in three words.
Oh, my God.
To me, you seem very simple. You seem like you, if I had to guess, you seem like you seem real sweet and nice now, but you probably be cracking that whip.
That's true.
You seem like you cracked the whip. When it's time to get down to business,
that's true.
You don't play no games.
That's true. And my friends will tell you that I switch like this when it's time
when
to
it's
get
time.
Something done. I am. I'm very sweet. But when it's time to get work
business,
done,
yes.
I'm very business driven. And if you cross me, I'm very like, yeah.
What's your sign?
Libra.
Libra.
Mm-hmm. Libra.
Okay. Three words.
To describe my lifestyle?
Yes, Miss Julie. Niecy.
I'm going to use you.
What you think, Niecy?
Loyal.
Yeah.
Dedicated.
You give us the last one because I said something. Niecy over there said something.
Oh, my God. My lifestyle. Uncomplicated.
And that's what I said. That was my first word. I said you seem very simple.
Yep.
Very simple, easygoing.
Yep. Very
easygoing.
As long
as, you know, you're doing what you're supposed to do, handling business. Miss Julia's cool.
Yep.
You know. Productive.
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 Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know. She's probably even, you know, let you slide a little bit if you talk to her, if you communicate with her. You know what I mean? You got to communicate.
Absolutely.
And she work with you.
Communication is key.
Okay. I think, how many minutes we got? We almost at our time? Tell us something that we should know that most people don't know about you.
Oh, my goodness, that most people don't know about me.
Oh, fun fact.
That's a hard one, Cherie. That's a hard one. I'm like, I'm drawing a blank.
She's drawing a blank.
I'm drawing a blank. I'm so sorry.
What is something? Because, and I understand because these are things that
you don't give thought to.
Yeah, you don't give thought to. And I don't, when somebody asks me these type of questions, I get stuck.
Yeah.
I get stuck.
Yeah.
The last time somebody asked me a question like that, I actually had an answer. And I had a good answer.
Oh,
I was
that's
so shocked.
Great. Okay.
I was like, actually, you did that. You was on the money with that one.
Right. You have to do a lot of self-reflection, I guess, you know.
It does take a lot of self-reflection. Mm-hmm. Sitting still, you know, getting to know yourself.
Absolutely.
That's one thing about ourselves. in entrepreneurships and, you know, just being dreamers, we mm-hmm. are constantly moving. Our brains are constantly thinking. We literally have to take time out mm-hmm. to turn our brains off just to relax and say, and woosah.
Absolutely.
So yeah. I'm going to let you slide if you can't think of anything.
You're going to have to let me slide,
I'm
going to
let you slide, Miss Julie, because Miss Julie says she's going to come back to the Steel Toes to Stilettos couch and sit down and talk to us about her new ventures that are coming up. I definitely want to hear about them. I am so honored and so blessed to have Miss Julie come join us on today, Sunday fun day. So how was it?
You were nervous. Good. I was nervous in the beginning, but it was okay.
It was okay, right? Yeah. It wasn't bad, right?
No, not at all.
We just sitting here talking, chopping it up,
yep.
Kiki and cackalacking. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you know want to leave us with?
Anything I want to leave us with?
Anything you would like the people to know?
The people, okay. These are so hard, Cherise. These are so hard, these questions. It really is. I would like everyone to know that just as Cherise said in the beginning, all things are possible if you put your mind to it. And at this point, I kind of feel like everything is possible. Everything that you could ever dream of. If you're sitting there and you're waiting to do something and you know this is something that's burning in your heart to get done, just take the leap, because what can happen? It can either be a fail or a success.
What's the worst that can happen?
And there's no shame in failure. It really is a try. The failure is looking back in life and saying, oh my gosh, what if I had?
What if?
You never want to be saying that in life. Yes. You just don't want to say that.
Yes. I have my Rebuild Your Life planner, which is here, and it is for, you know, for those who want to, you know, get back out there. People who have, you know, put their dreams on the back burner and forgot about them because life start life. And, you know, I have a couple signature quotes in there. And one of them is, what if it just works out? What if it just so happens to work out?
Absolutely.
But you're not going to know if you don't try.
Exactly.
You're not going to know. Miss Julie, thank you so much again for traveling down here to Wilmington, Delaware, to be here for the Steel Toes to Stilettos episode. I appreciate you.
You're so welcome. Much.
I felt Miss Julie's energy before I met her. That's why I was asking you some of the questions I was asking you earlier, because before I even met Miss Julie, I already knew what type of energy she was going to bring and what type of energy she was going to give, and you did just that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I hope everyone out there enjoyed the interview. We will be back in about another week or two with another Power Pack episode. So make sure you set your notifications. Make sure you mark your calendar. Make sure you go like, subscribe, follow, do all that good stuff. I am Cherise Monique. This is Steel Toes to Stilettos, and we are out.